Galatians chapter 3. Verse 13. Now this is a very, very familiar portion of Scripture. And I'm sure that we've all, I know you've heard it preached many times, and most of you have read it many times. But it's always worth reading, and it's always worth looking at. And it goes like this. It says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Christ hath redeemed us. Christ alone hath redeemed us. Not Christ plus our cooperation. Not Christ plus the fruits of our free will. Not Christ plus our decision. Not Christ plus our faith. Not Christ plus our repentance. Not Christ and anything that we do. Christ. Christ alone hath redeemed us. When did it happen? Virtually, in the mind, will, counsel, covenant, grace, love, and purpose of God, it happened from the foundation of the world. Before this earth was made, before any of the planets came forth from the hand of God, God loved a people in the Lord Jesus Christ. And He paid their debt. Christ, Revelation 13:8, He stood as a lamb as it had been slain from the foundation of the world. Revelation 5:6, Revelation 13:8, when you put those two verses together, that's what the teaching is. Christ stood as a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. It was finished in the mind of God in eternity past. And it came to pass actually according to the determinate counsel and purpose of God that day that He walked up Calvary's mountain bearing His own cross, and the awful weight of the sin of the world of God's elect laid on His shoulder. He suffered in His soul, which was the soul of His suffering, and in His body. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. He had done no violence, neither was any guile, no lie was found in His mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. In order to justify His beloved children and people, those whom He had loved in Christ from eternity past, it pleased the Lord to bruise Him for them and put away their sin forever, that their complete justification in the mind and the will of God should be and has been accomplished by the death of God's only begotten and well-beloved Son, Christ Jesus. The Lord Christ, all by Himself, hath redeemed us. He purchased us. He ransomed us. He rescued us from all of our enemies. Let's look at a few verses of Scripture with this. Look at Psalm 22:11. Psalm 22:11. Be not far from me. This is our Lord Jesus praying. Of course, this is David writing prophetically of Christ's sufferings on the tree. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, and there's none to help. Christ alone. Christ by Himself and for His people faced the wrath of an avenging God. Christ saw His Father as the avenger and the rector of all of the dishonor that had been heaped upon His holy law and justice through the disobedience of man. And He saw Himself as the sole recipient, and He knew that He in Himself was the sole recipient of all of that wrath and vengeance and fury of an angry God. He alone faced it for His people, and there was none to help. Look at Isaiah 63:5. I looked, and there was none to help. Who could help? Who could help sustain the vengeance of a thrice holy God? Nobody could. Not all the angels in heaven, not all of the saints in glory. Nobody was capable of sustaining and enduring the curse of God's law and of God, and put away sin so that it might never ever be remembered against His people again. Not now, not at the judgment, not in eternity future, not ever. That blood that was shed at Calvary completely washed us from our sins. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is buried in the depth of the sea, cast behind the back of God, and can never be remembered again. And this is God's promise. And there I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their iniquity I will remember no more. And that for the sake of the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. We repented because Christ Jesus had purchased us. We believe because Christ Jesus has purchased for us the Spirit of truth and put it in our heart. We are saved because Christ Jesus hath saved us in His sufferings and death. We had nothing to do with it. We were the passive recipients of the work and purpose of our Lord Jesus Christ in bringing a people unto His Father. Christ hath once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. He hath once suffered to put away sin by the offering of Himself. I looked and there was none to help. I wondered that there was none to uphold. Christ Himself facing the wrath of God. Therefore, mine own arm brought salvation unto me, and my fury it upheld me. Not only did Christ delight to do His Father's will in saving His people from their enemies, but His fury, Christ's fury against all of our enemies, against Satan, hell, the grave, and death, upheld Him in His glorious work of the redemption of the entire family of God. He came to destroy Satan and his works. And bless his holy name. He got the job done. There can be no accusation against us at the judgment. There can be no remembrance of any of our sin in eternity future. He's seated at the right hand of God, making intercession for us. Amen. And He paid our price. Look at Isaiah 50, verse 7 and 8. Isaiah 50, verse 7 and 8. For the Lord God will help me. Now this is a prophetic of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, I shall not be confounded. Not him, not any that are in him. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. He is near that justifieth me. Who will condemn me? Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near unto me. Now look at Romans 8:32. Romans 8:32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. By our Lord Jesus Christ. Who is he that condemneth? Our Lord said, who can condemn me? Who can condemn his body in union with him? Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Look at Isaiah 44:23. Isaiah 44:23. Sing, O ye heavens, for the Lord hath done it. He justified the whole family of God by His shed blood. Shout, ye lower parts of the earth, break forth into singing, ye mountains, O forest, and every tree therein. For the Lord hath redeemed Jacob and glorified himself in Israel. Look at Isaiah, turn over one chapter at Isaiah 45:17. But Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. Ye shall not be ashamed nor confounded world without end. I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. As long as our eyes are on the Lord Jesus Christ, we have perfect peace. But when we get it on ourselves and on our works, then there's no peace there. If we look to self for any pardon in our justification, there's nothing there. Look at Hebrews 1:3. You know what my advice is? Keep yourself out of the picture. Look to Christ Jesus alone. Hebrews 1:3. Now let's just begin reading it, verse 1. God, at sundry times and in diverse manners, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. And what a great kindness it is that God spoke to us at all. Hath in these last days spoken unto us in His Son. Whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory, and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. When He had by Himself purged. What's that mean, purged? He took every defiling thing away. He removed all the guilt of our sin by bearing that guilt His own self. 1 Peter 2:24 says, Who His own self bare our sins in His own body. He took the guilt of our sins and bare it in His own body, on in His soul and body, on that tree, that we being dead to sin. What does that mean? That means we can't sin. In the eyes of God, we cannot sin. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Did He impute David's sin to Him? No, He said, David, your sin's put away. What about Peter? He denied Him 3 times. Feed my sheep. I'm not done with you. Are those things miserable failures? Yes, they are, and we are. That's what we are. We're a miserable failure in ourselves. But in Christ Jesus, we're beautiful in the eyes of God. Look at Hebrews 10:10-14. Hebrews 10:10-14. And I'm going to begin reading verse 9. Then said He, that is Christ Jesus, Lo, I come to do Thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that is the first covenant, that He may establish the second, the first covenant, the first priesthood, the first things that pertain to the law of God. He took it out of the way. By the which will? That's the will of God. Will of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once. For every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oft times the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. Christ Jesus offered Himself once, only once. Those high priests stood daily ministering the same sacrifices that could never take away sin. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down at the right hand of God. His work was finished by His one offering. From henceforth expecting till His enemies, that you and me be made His footstool. Now, He has other enemies. and they're going to be put in hell. But we come and worship at His feet, and we say, Lord, if You will. That's something they'll never say. No. For by one offering He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, them that are set apart. Christ alone hath redeemed us. Christ hath. It's a done deal. It's over with. It's completed. There's nothing to be taken, to be added to it, or nothing can be taken from it. Christ hath redeemed us. John 19:30, our Lord bowed His head and said, it is finished. John 17:4, I have done the work that You sent me to do. Matthew 1:21, He shall save His people from their sins. Christ hath. It's in the past. He's not redeeming anybody today. He has redeemed the whole body of Christ. Many are brought into the fruit of His redemption in their personal experience by the call of the Holy Ghost. But they were redeemed. I was redeemed. The Apostle Paul was redeemed. Moses was redeemed. Adam was redeemed at Calvary. Amen. By one offering, He hath perfected forever them. Now, Satan would like to make us doubt that. Satan would like to rationalize and be skeptic and fill us with unbelief and say, yea, hath God said that Christ hath redeemed us, like Eve in the garden? But we know what He says. God has given us His most precious word. Christ hath redeemed us. Look at 2 Timothy. Let's look at this again. I love to look at this verse of Scripture. 2 Timothy 1:8-9. 2 Timothy 1:8-9. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me His prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God who hath saved us. And called us with a holy calling. When did He save us? We've always been saved. When did He write our names in the book of life? There's never been a time when our names wasn't in the book of life. It's always been there. Look at Philippians 4:3. Philippians 4, verse 3. Let me see. Philippians. I'm in the wrong book here. Philippians 4, 3. I entreat thee, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. When were they there? Well, they've always been there. Look at Luke chapter 10, verse 20. Luke 10:20. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto thee, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Look at Hebrews 12:23. You're come. let's begin reading it at verse 22. But ye are coming to Mount Zion. We're not come to Mount Sinai. And to the sound of a trumpet, and to the voice of words. We're not come to the law of Moses, seeking justification by our own works. But ye are come into Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God. What's that city made out of? Other believers. We are the city of the living God. He dwells in us, and we in Him. To the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, and to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven. Is that good enough? Your name. Your name is written in glory. It's always been there. God has known His people from everlasting to everlasting. Thou art God, and He changes not. I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He can't change His. He will not change His mind about us. He had loved us. And to God, the Judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. Look at Revelation 21:27. Revelation 21:27. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. While we're named in glory. Then He's always loved us. Yea, I have loved you with an everlasting love, therefore by loving kindness have I drawn thee. Jeremiah 31:3. We love Him. Now wait a minute. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. 1 John 4:10. And then verse 19 says, we love Him because He first loved us. He sheds abroad in our heart the love of God by the Holy Ghost. Look at Revelation chapter 1. Verse 5. Let's begin reading in verse 4. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from Him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before His throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto Him that hath that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. And unto Him that loved us. How long has He loved us? from everlasting. Yea, I've loved you. Who do you love? You. You who can hear. He loved you. You who can believe. Ye who are given faith, it is of faith that it might be through grace to the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed. Romans 4:16. You know, we are to cast out every skeptical thing that comes into our mind from the devil, because that's where it's from. Every trace of unbelief and doubt comes from below. He's the author and finisher of our faith. So Christ hath redeemed us. Let's look at one more place. Look at Isaiah 48:12-16. Isaiah 48:12-16. Hearken unto me, O Jacob. Well, now who's he talking about? He's talking to the people of God. In whatever, whether it's Old Testament or New Testament, he's talking to the people of God. Whether it's now or after the judgment. Hearken unto me, O Jacob, and Israel, my called. I am he. I am the first. I also am the last. Mine hand also hath laid the foundation of the earth, and my right hand hath spanned the heavens. When I called unto them, they stand up together. All ye, assemble yourselves and hear. Which among them hath declared these things? The Lord hath loved him. We declare those things. We seek to set forth the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We seek to bring men face to face with the Word of God by faithfully preaching the Word, not our ideas, not our thoughts, not politics, not education, not government, nothing, but we preach the Word. We declare these things. And we know that God hath loved us. He will do His pleasure on Babylon, on our enemies. His fury will sustain him. It did at Calvary. And His arm shall be on the Chaldeans. I, even I, have spoken. Yea, I have called him. I have brought him. And he shall make his way prosperous. Well, Christ hath redeemed. He hath redeemed us. Is to purchase for release. Is to ransom. Is to purchase to set us free. To free us from the curse of the law. Christ hath redeemed us. Virtually, before the foundation of the world, in the mind, purpose, and will of God, really, but in actuality, at Calvary. What God determined before the foundation of the world was brought to pass by His providence at Calvary. God gathered together against His only Son all the enemies of Himself and His people, and there He destroyed them. He absolutely destroyed them. when Christ Jesus bowed his precious head and said, "It is finished." He accomplished death for a great multitude that no man can number. And that's the sentence of the law. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Well, we did. "I am," said Paul, "crucified with Christ." Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, but live unto God. We're dead to sin. That means God will not impute sin to us. You mean no matter what you do? Yeah, that's what I mean. No matter what you do, we'll want to do what's right. Sometimes we'll fail and we'll do what's wrong. But God will not remember their sins and their iniquities. I will remember no more. Look at Ephesians 1, verse 7. Ephesians 1, verse 7. "In whom we have redemption." We have redemption. We are the redeemed of the Lord. Let the redeemed say so. "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." Colossians 1:14. "In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." Colossians 1:22. "And you that were sometimes," I'm going to begin reading verse 1 here, "and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled." God reconciled us to him. He took all the hatred and enmity out of our heart. He took away our stony heart and gave us a heart of flesh. He reconciled us. "In the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy." "But I'm a sinner." Not in Christ Jesus, you're not. "Not being the creation of God, you're not. For we are his creation, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. To present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight." Not your side. Not in the world's side. Not in Satan's side. Not in anybody's side except God. He told Noah, he said, "You have I seen righteous in the earth." Why, old Noah, that old drunkard that committed incest with his daughters? "You have I seen righteous." Romans 3:24. Romans 3:24. "Being justified freely." "Being justified without a cause whatsoever in you." You had absolutely nothing to do with it. You were justified by the shed blood of Jesus Christ in the mind of God from all eternity and in actuality at Calvary. Yeah. "Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And then look at 1 Corinthians 1:30. But of Him, that is of God the Father, are you, that is every believer, in Christ Jesus. Who, of God, is Him that did it, is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Our price is fully paid. We're perfectly holy, perfectly righteous, perfectly wise in the eyes of God. God doesn't want a bunch of superstition. He wants people who knows the fact and can intelligently trust Him and worship Him. It's what we know through the Word of God.
Amen.
We know these things. We're convinced of these things. God has put the Spirit of truth in our heart. And that's the only way that we know that these are the words of God and that He has given us freely faith.
Yeah.
Justifying faith.
Yeah.
And a justifying righteousness.
Amen.
By the Lord Jesus Christ. People who do not believe the Scriptures are the infallible, inerrant Word of God, have absolutely no foundation for anything. In this world's religion, they say, well, there's a bunch of gases and dust that gathered together, made a big old rock, and it exploded, and thus the universe was born. That don't explain anything. Where'd the gas come from? Where did the dust come from? Who made them? Are they our God? That's stupidity. In the beginning, God. God the Son. According to the purpose of God the Father and God the Holy Spirit, created the heavens and the earth out of nothing. That's just the way it is. God hath redeemed us. Who's us? Who is that? Well, there's several different ways we could look at that. I mean, and it all comes down to the same thing, of course. But who is us? It's the children of the covenant.
Amen.
And what covenant is it? It's the everlasting covenant. It's the covenant that has been from everlasting and to everlasting, and we have always been the children of that covenant because God is our Lord Jesus Christ is our everlasting Father, so therefore we must be everlasting children.
Amen.
He hath redeemed us. Did He redeem anybody else? No. No, He didn't. He came into this world to redeem a particular people.
Amen.
He didn't ask them anything about it. He wasn't interested in what they thought about it in old eternity. It was His Father's purpose to bring many sons to glory that are just like His Son.
Yeah.
And so He predestinated us. What a glorious thing.
Oh my.
That God has predestinated some of Adam's fallen, ruined race to be just like Jesus Christ in thought, word, and deed. And what a wonderful thing that He chose the lowly, the vile, the base, them that ain't too terribly smart. He chose sinners to be the objects of His work of grace.
Amen.
I'm glad to be a fool for Christ's sake. I I don't know too much about this world, and what I do know, I'd like to forget. Well, let's look at a few verses of Scripture here. Galatians 4:28. Now, God's promise that He made in old eternity between the three persons of the Godhead and that He made to Abraham, that promise is His covenant. Well, you mean that's all there is to it? Yeah, that's all there is to it. God promised it, and that's His covenant, and it's settled forever. How simple is that? And we can't be too simple. God said it, and that's the way it is. It's according to His Word. God said it and has given us the ability to believe it, rest in it. Galatians 4:28. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. Look at 3:25, just a page here a little bit. That is Acts 3:25. Ye are children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, in thy seed shall all kindreds of the earth be blessed. We're those children. We're children of faith. God said, we believe. And that's the whole of our story. God said, we believe. Thus saith the Holy Ghost is our foundation. This is the thing that the Lord hath commanded to be done. That's our foundation. We don't rest on our human reasoning. We don't rest on anything but God's Word. We are sealed in this covenant, in our experience, by the Spirit. And in the covenant, by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Hebrews 13:20. I know we read that scripture a lot, but I don't make no apology for it because it's always worth reading. Hebrews 13:20. Now the God of peace, to us He's not a God of judgment, a God of anger, a God of fury. To this world He is. He said in James 4:4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the love of this world is enmity against God? Therefore, whosoever be a friend of this world is the enemy of God. God's got some enemies in this world, and every free will works religion preacher is the enemy of God. He just can't help himself because he's a works man. What you do, you got to do this, you got to do that, you got to do something else. Nothing comes to you by free grace. You got to earn everything. That's a bald-faced lie. God gives everything to His dear children freely by free grace. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. We're the children of that covenant. And it's by the power of God in that covenant that we believe. It is by the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ that seals that covenant that the Spirit was given unto us to make us believers. Look at Matthew 26:28. Well, while we're going there, let's stop by Matthew 20:28, which says, "Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many." How many? As many as the Lord had given him from the foundation of the world. Just that many. And then, turn on over to Matthew 26:28. "For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Look at Luke 22:20. "Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood." The New Testament in my blood. The everlasting covenant in my blood. It's His blood that makes it absolutely effectual to the children of promise, the children of the covenant. Christ hath redeemed us. Us. Christ hath redeemed us, which is shed, what? For you. The children of the covenant. "Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Let's look at one more place. Look at John 14:20. "At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you." That verse, as well as all the rest, are sealed to us by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's good news.